This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Alan Ellis here. We're having a little bit of a technical difficulty with our guest this morning from Department of Natural Resources, but we'll get that straightened out. The number here, of course, is 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680 if you're in the local, if you're outside the local dialing area, but we can give that a shot. Here we go. We'll see what happens with Mike. We're trying to do email communications while we're on the air. That's not good. So we'll get it figured out. Yeah, I got a phone call too. Okay, we're good. That's good. All right. Yeah. Hey, Mike. You got him up? Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good morning.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I don't know what happened to the 800 line, but. Did you call me on my cell earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, as soon as the other donor didn't go through, I figured I'd try your cell.
Yeah, it's on silent here during the show, as you can imagine.
Yeah, so. Of course.
Yes, anyway. Hey, folks, Mike Naylor with Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. He is the Shellfish Program Director, and we're going to talk a little bit about oysters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, attended the Mermaid Kiss event a week or so ago at the aquarium and did sample some of those great oysters from Maryland. Our oyster business is robust right now, isn't it?
It's amazing. All the oysters you tasted there, save for one station, were from aquaculture. And it's a pretty amazing story. When I briefly managed the aquaculture program about 5 years ago, and there were four or five different operations selling oysters in the whole state. And this past summer, there were 171 aquaculture operations that sold within the state.
171 aquaculture?
Yeah, that sold oysters. There are more than that out there, but you can buy product from so many different waters in Maryland right now. It's just a really exciting time to be an oyster eater or an oyster grower in the state.
Yeah, if you like oysters, absolutely, no question. Wow, that's cool. 171. And 5 years ago was how many?
It was a three or four, maybe five tops.
I'm glad to see that. I really am. I'm glad to see that people are investing in it and that they're, you know. Now, tell me, if I want to go in the aquaculture business, all right. Obviously, there's going to be capital investment in that from my business. But what kind of subsidies or anything like that does the state provide anything if you decide you want to go in the aquaculture business?
We do. There's a program through a quasi business entity called Marbidco where you can get a partially refunded loan. Up to $100,000 to start your business.
Really?
Yeah, and that's state money that's put into a pot that's loaned out to people who are interested in starting aquaculture, and you don't have to pay back anything but the interest for a few years. The most difficult part about aquaculture is you have to make a big investment, and then it's 3 or 4 years before you make your first dollar. Those aren't the kinds of loans banks would like to give out. So in the interest of jump-starting aquaculture, the state partnered with Marbidco to start this program, and several million dollars have been loaned out. And as those payments come back in, more loans are given out. So money just rolls over.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great program.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Hooper's Island Oyster Aquaculture Company that goes under the brand of Johnny and Rick.
Chesapeake Gold.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw those guys at the event the other night. They're customers of mine. And I've toured their facility. I've watched how they raise the oysters. It's pretty fascinating. These guys actually grow the algae to feed the spat in their facility. They grow the spat, then they plant the spat on the seed. They put them in special, you know, containers, and they put them in the bay for a while till they reach a certain size, and then they float them offshore. I mean, the whole process is labor intensive.
It's extremely labor intensive, and it takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of time, and then once you have your product, it's on you to figure out how to sell it to somebody. And that's where Chesapeake Gold has really excelled. They have set up really nice displays. They've developed interesting ways to market their oysters to try to find people to buy because, you know, the downside of having 171 businesses in operation is the competition. So people like Johnny Shockley, who run that business,
yeah,
done
Johnny.
A wonderful job of promoting their product and trying to make people, you know, get them in front of people.
They have a pretty robust sales team down there as well.
Yeah.
They do, and you know the guy. You know the guys. But what they've done, their bread and butter is. And I'm not just touting these one guys, but you know, having toured the facility and knowing them a little bit, you know, they've actually developed and I guess patented some of the equipment that these guys use to raise these oysters. You know,
yeah.
So half their business is the oysters, and the other part of their business is. You know, selling the equipment for others to do it, just, you know, kind of duplication of effort, kind of like the old Colonel Sanders, you know, model.
That's exactly right. You know, they're diversifying. Instead of just selling oysters, they're now selling the cages, and they're, you know, developing, like you say, some patented technologies to help people do things like increase the salt content of their oysters.
Yeah, so, exactly.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and we did have some pretty nice salty oysters if people like those, and it's... you know, we sampled a couple. Didn't do what I did last year and overdo it on the oysters. So
I can't say the same.
Yeah, well.
They were really good.
Yeah, they were. They were. But, yeah, the whole event was pretty nice. So, all right. Let me take a call here from Wesley in Westminster, and I'll get right back to you there. Mike, hang on a minute. Wesley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing, Alan?
Good. What's up?
I was just calling. I was going to... let you know, tell you about my youngest son going through hunter safety course up at Mayberry.
Okay.
Week, and he's getting ready for his test, and, you know, did some good times. But, you know, I didn't know you were talking about aquaculture.
We are, yep. That's our guest today, Mike Naylor from the Fisheries Service. So we're spending our morning, not just aquaculture, we're talking about the oyster season in general and, you know, the oyster population here in Maryland. So.
Oh, I said my brother has gotten into this aquaculture, and he's doing it in these tubs in our backyard, these like 300-gallon tubs.
Really?
And he was trying to raise tilapia.
Yep, tilapia, yep.
Tilapia.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's just getting into it. You know, this year's are going to be our first year trying to do this.
Well, cool. That's cool.
So, interesting that I happen to get you on here, and I'm here in this aquaculture thing.
Sure.
Pretty cool.
Good deal. All right, Wesley. Very good. Well, wish your brother a lot of luck.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
I'm going to continue to listen, see if I can pick up some tips.
There you go. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Have a great day.
See you, Wesley. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right. There goes Wes. So, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, that's where I did my hunter safety training at Mayberry Archers.
Did you really?
In Westminster.
Yeah.
I grew up in Westminster, so
it's cool.
A small world.
It is. All right. So we talked a little bit about the aquaculture thing and the mermaid kiss, but we just got started here on oyster season. I mean, we didn't October 1. You're talking commercial oyster season.
Yeah, October 1 is the traditional start of the season for hand tongers and patent tongers and divers. And they were certainly out in force on the 1st of October.
I have no doubt.
That's about 40-45% of the total harvest is from those gears. The real big season kicks off November 3rd when the power dredgers get going.
Right.
But yeah, everybody's looking forward to a successful season. Our oyster population is doing pretty well in the areas where the oysters still are.
Right.
The biomass index that we use that shows the relative abundance of oysters is the highest it's been in 15 years.
Really?
So, yeah, so we're looking forward to another good season.
Well, they've had – the last two have been spectacular as compared to, you know, the last 40 years, basically. You know, it's been pretty darn good the last 2 years. So it sounds like things are moving along well. Now, of course, we do have the ever-present MSX and Dermo in the Chesapeake Bay. Aquaculture is just mitigating part of that. And I know, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, we had the just about 90% of the oyster population wiped out in the Upper Bay anyway, due to MSX and Dermo and water conditions and everything else. So I see we've got an Upper Bay oyster study going on right now.
Yeah, there have been, in the last several legislative sessions, a number of requests from oyster dredgers to have more territory to work in, particularly in the Upper Bay. As oyster populations have declined over time, we have had a lot of requests to allow more efficient gears. So if you can't catch them with tonguing, there's often a desire to be allowed to dredge, because you can catch in an area that won't produce enough oysters to bother fishing in it with the tongs. If you can dredge it, you can make a living.
It kind of amuses me when you say catching oysters. It's like, how elusive are they?
Yeah, they're not super elusive.
You just find them and drag them up. Yeah.
But you need a certain density to be able to really get them with tonging. Tongers need a pretty high density. So there was an effort the last several sessions to open the Upper Bay to dredging, and the argument from the department has been that we don't think that'll be very effective because oyster reproduction in the Upper Bay is really poor.
Right.
And we feel that if the remaining oysters up there are caught, you're just going to have fewer and fewer to reproduce. So we've been leaning towards doing more of an aquaculture model where you plant hatchery oysters from Horn Point or from these small setting tanks that private individuals have, planting the oysters up there, waiting a few years, and then harvesting them. It's mm-hmm. the exact same thing aquaculture does. So this year we're working together with Waterman to directly test this. We're going to be allowing them to do some power dredging in a small area, and we're going to be watching how many oysters it produces over time, and we're going to be working with them to plant oysters. Actually, the head of the Maryland Watermen's Association planted the 20 million oysters in the Upper Bay this year, and we're going to watch how they grow, and we're going to really look at the economics of it and see how cost-effective it is to do both techniques in the Upper Bay.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's just that's spectacular news. I mean, look, the oyster recovery in Maryland has been a focus point of the O'Malley administration, and I know our fisheries director, Tom O'Connell, has been working on this for many, many moons, and you know, I'm sure he's pleased to see the comeback, even to this extent, of the Maryland oyster, and the fact that the seasons are now, you know, profitable for some of these watermen, and the oysters are in some parts of the bay, not all, in some parts of the bay are making a spectacular recovery.
Yeah, if you think back to 1999, that's when really we had the proposal to introduce a non-native oyster to Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
And that triggered a 10-year review of all of the science, and some new science was generated to see if that made any sense. And after 10 years, in 2009, the report was released and said, no, that's really not the way we should go. There are a lot of risks to that. And it suggested that we need to do the things we're doing now, to increase aquaculture, to do very large-scale restoration, to protect some areas and sanctuaries. Mm-hmm. And it's been very gratifying to see that decision appears to have been right. You know, our oyster harvests have gone up tenfold in 10 years, and people are able to make a living. We have over 1,100 watermen that registered to fish for oysters last year. That's almost twice as many as just a few years ago.
Wow.
So it's very encouraging.
It is. All right. Let's talk about the oyster shell deal. No, let's do this. Mike, let me take a break, okay? We've got a lot of commercials here because we have great sponsors in the Outdoors and Radio Show. We want to remind our listeners that these sponsors are the ones that assure that the Outdoors and Radio Show will be on the air. So we recommend highly that when we talk about one of our sponsors that you, of course, support the sponsors with your footprint, you know, your footsteps in the door and support them by buying products, you know, at our sponsors. That's the point. So anyway, let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop. Okay, Clyde Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you need fishing or crabbing gear, of course, they've got it, live bait all the way through the season, pretty much year-round. But I want to talk about firearms for hunting right now. Of course, muzzleloader season comes in next week. So they carry the Thompson Center muzzleloaders, and their supply of accessories is exceptional when it comes to muzzleloaders, the powder, the pellets, the bullets, and the whole deal. Just about every kind of bullet imaginable, whatever you like to shoot, I'm sure they've got it at Clyde Sports Shop. But Clyde's is also a full-line Browning dealer. So let's talk about the bolt action X-bolt. I saw one in there the other day that just thumb hole stock. Laminate stock, beautiful, wood laminate stock, beautiful 30-06 X-Bolt. Come in all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. That's the X-Bolt bolt-action high-powered rifle. Comes with an adjustable feather trigger and a detachable rotary magazine. Very nice gun. Upgrade from the A-Bolt 300 Win Mag that I have, but you can get one for any type of big game. If you hunt Dorchester County or southern lower eastern shore or upper eastern shore, or if you hunt in western Maryland with a rifle, why not check out the X-Bolt? And don't forget, if you like the pump-action shotgun, the BPS pump is available for kids in 410 and 28-gauge if you want, 20, 16, 12, and even 10-gauge models in the BPS pump. Features a bottom ejection. The DuraTouch armor coating makes sure that gun's not going to rust on you, and that comes in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo finish. It comes with three Invector Plus choke tubes. Bottom ejection, as I mentioned, that's the BPS pump for the pump action shotgun guys. And then with the autoloaders, you got the A5, the humpback is back, the Maxxis, and the gold light 10-gauge. So that's Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108. Now, another full-line store is located on Maryland's Eastern Shore, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. And, you know, they've got it all. I was in there yesterday. I was amazed. I was looking at the Tacticam, you know, the stabilizer bow cam, or it comes with a mount. You can put it on your shotgun. It doesn't have that fisheye view, you know, like some of the competitors do. This is a straight-on camera. You can record all the action, and you don't even have to think about it. It screws into your bow stabilizer and hit the record button. You pull that string back, and you let it fly, and you've got the shot recorded right there on your little Tacticam. They've got the Ozonix. For those of you who believe in the ozone layer of protection to keep your scent away from the deer downwind, they carry the Ozonix as well. And don't forget, Matthew Solo Cam, Mission Crossbows, all the brands of crossbows, full line of firearms for waterfowl and deer hunting, muzzle loaders and supplies, Drake and Under Armour clothing, and everything for fishing and crabbing and live bait as well. That's Route 50 East, exit 39B. Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B. And that is on Kent Island, Maryland, just across the Bay Bridge. 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. The name, Chesapeake Outdoors.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie. Spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Line-X spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Line-X spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Line-X spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Line-X or Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Line-X is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Anxious to save some cash when you're looking for something to buy? Or to find a restaurant with your favorite food and perhaps they're offering nightly specials? Then check out WCBM.com. Look for It's Happening Here. Scroll down until you find something you like. It's new, helpful, and easy to find. And who doesn't want to save a couple of bucks? Visit often because we're always adding new places daily. Check out WCBM.com and it's happening here.
Barefoot girl dancing in the moonlight, man. How about you, Mike? You good with that?
Hey, that sounds good to me. There's plenty of moonlight still right now.
Yeah, great full moon this week. Lunar eclipse and everything else. So, all right, let's talk about oyster shells. Oyster shells are being recovered across the state. Do we still have big stockpiles of oyster shells?
We do.
In Queen Anne's County
in Graysonville at the landfill.
Yeah, at the landfill. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we have an even bigger pile down in Crisfield. We have something like 400,000 bushels of oysters that have been stockpiled over the last decade.
Why aren't we using them?
We are using them every year. The Horn Point Oyster Hatchery goes through about 100,000 bushels a year.
Okay. Why are we doing bushels? I mean, you know, don't we do tons or?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know that.
I mean, why do we use bushels for crabs? Why don't we say you're allowed 50 crabs?
For crabs, I don't know, but for oysters, it's certainly just the history. You know,
yeah.
Going back 200 years, that seems to always have been the measurement used.
Right.
And, you know, the Maryland bushel is different than the Virginia bushel, and
right.
I always tell people there's nothing easy about oysters. Everything is difficult, seemingly.
Complicated, exactly.
But yeah, we have several hundred thousand bushels that we're going through pretty quickly, and the problem we have is we are no longer able to buy oysters from the local shucking houses.
Why?
Aquaculture growth in the state has resulted in a lot of private individuals looking to buy oyster shells, and they are outbidding us at the shucking houses.
So let's go to Harris Seafood on Ken Island, for example. I mean, they do millions of oysters.
Yep.
Okay. So truck pulls in, they load the shells on the truck, and that guy's a private buyer. He buys it directly from them. He goes down the road. What's he do with them?
They usually put them in a big pile somewhere, and they let them sit for 6 months to a couple years for the meats to fall off. And
okay.
Then the shells are very carefully washed. They're put into tanks, and oyster larvae are introduced to the tank, and they attach to those shells, and then they're planted on leases.
Okay.
So historically, Harris Oyster House would take their shells directly to Graysonville and leave them there, and we would pay them 25 cents a bushel 10 years ago, and
right.
we got all of their shells.
Right.
Now, private businesses are paying them as much as $2.50 a bushel, which is way more than the state has been willing to pay right now.
Hey, guess what? If I'm Harris and somebody offers me $2.50 a bushel for oyster shells, hey, bring the trucks, brother.
You're darn tuned.
Yeah, line them up around the block here. We'll fill them up. So,
yeah, of course, we're encouraging aquaculture, so we don't really want to compete with them.
And, right.
You know, we're tickled that the shells are all being used in this way, but it's created a situation where we need to figure out a way to keep Horn Point going. You know, it's really important for our restoration projects and also for aquaculture. For some people buy their spat on shell directly from Horn Point, so we have been searched to look all over, forced to look everywhere. You know, we're buying a tremendous amount of shells from Bevins in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't know our wild oysters that are harvested, a great many of them end up going onto trucks and being trucked to Virginia for shucking.
Right.
And the downside of that is that we lose the shell.
Right.
So we are actually going and buying that shell together with the Oyster Recovery Partnership and bringing it back to Maryland to use in the hatcheries and also to give to leaseholders.
Okay. And then we met a guy at the Oyster's Kiss event from Florida, wearing cowboy boots and jeans, very, very tall, very stately gentleman, who seems to own a quarry in Florida. Want to talk about that?
Yeah, that was Steve Addington.
Yeah.
And, his company was formerly in the coal mining business, and they acquired some properties in Florida, one of which ended up having a deposit of oyster shells about 40 feet underground that they didn't even know were there when they bought the quarry. They were digging down, gathering gravel for road base, and they struck this layer of oyster shells that's in some cases is 8 and 10 feet thick.
Wow.
And they're from the late Pleistocene era, like 5 to 15 million years ago. And they're beautiful. It's an oyster shell. It's
fossilized oyster shell.
Yeah, and so we are working with them. We've bought 2 million bushels of oyster shells from them.
Now that's been a quite a controversial project, especially in some of the areas where that oyster shell's been introduced.
Yeah, from the get-go of all of these projects, from the beginning when we made some of the parts of the Chesapeake Bay, about 24% of it, into sanctuaries, which was guidance from the EIS, you know, ever since that time.
Wait, what's EIS?
The Environmental Impact Statement. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
About introducing non-native oysters. You know, that directed the department to establish large-scale sanctuaries and do large-scale restoration. Establishing those sanctuaries was a very great political fight. And ever since that time, all of the work that we've done in those sanctuaries has been opposed in one way or another by Maryland's watermen.
Sure, okay.
Understandably.
Yeah.
And the Florida fossil shell is no different.
Right. If I remember the argument, the barge was bringing in the oyster shell. There was a lot of fine dust, and I don't know how much percentage wise, but according to the people that watched that being dumped in the water, you know, this fine dust was more like mud. You know, apparently it had gotten wet somewhere. It was more like mud, and they were wondering why we were dropping mud on top of the oyster beds and covering up the floor of the Chesapeake Bay and smothering the crabs that were underneath. Is that pretty much the scenario?
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And you know, I've spent a lot of time in and around the barges. I've spent whole days out there on the water watching the operation in place. And it is, when you watch it, you do see this light-colored plume that is very unusual.
Yeah.
And it's understandable to me that someone that sees that for the first time and doesn't have an understanding would be surprised at what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And of course, anytime you obtain material from a quarry, anybody who's ever put a driveway in knows that there's some dust associated with that.
Right.
And again, these shells are no exception.
And then we had testimony from one of the barge captains, I believe, or tugboat captains or something, that according to him, this material was, you know, not good for the bay and all this stuff. And I mean, these are all eyewitness, you know, testimony. But what are the facts when that fine material gets into the Chesapeake Bay? It's certainly an inert product. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's calcium carbonate.
Okay,
and limestone.
Limestone, and it's gonna, and most of it is gonna flow away with the tidal flow, I'm guessing.
Yeah, whatever doesn't dissolve into the water column will settle like any other particulate material. Anybody who lives along a river certainly knows that every time the wind blows, there's a lot of particulate material in the water, and
right.
It is a problem.
Okay.
But we test every batch of this Florida fossil shell before it gets put in the trains in Florida. There's
right.
actually a company that flies someone down there and tests every batch.
Okay.
Make sure there's no more than 5% fines in any load.
5%. Okay.
Yeah, and then we've been within that limit every time. You know, if you get to one side of the barge at the bottom of the train, you can have accumulations of fine material for sure. But overall, it's a beautiful product. We've had divers go down and look at the material on the bottom after we plant it, and you do not see the fine material on it anymore. I mean, it is a beautiful base upon which to plant oyster shells, and we've already seen in several locations wild oysters that have struck on it, on the material. It's obviously a good material that oyster larvae like.
Good.
It was also tested in the hatchery, Horn Point, put some in a tank and put some oyster larvae in there, and they attached to it and grew really well.
Good. Glad to
hear
that.
So we're very excited about this material.
All right. Hang on. Time for another break. Time for me to tell the folks about Bass Pro Shop Sick of Deer Sunday coming up next Sunday, October 19th. You can join professional hunter Bob Folkrod and friends, and lots of them, on Sunday afternoon, October 19th, for Sick of Deer Sunday at Bass Pro Shops in Arundel Mills. Bob's going to be hunting on a property in Dorchester County that I've hunted and took a sick of deer from last year, and know the owner, and Bob is a friend and has hunted with the owner around the country and around the world. But he's taken the largest sick of stag with a bow ever filmed by national television show, and you've never seen it. Nope, never seen it. Been in the can, and you'll see that exclusive video. Now, sick of deer hunters and specialized sick of deer vendors will be on hand to celebrate our exclusive little elk. Now, someone or two that attends will win a $50 Bass Pro Shop. We're giving two of them away. Gift card courtesy of the Outdoors and Radio Show on Sick of Deer Sunday. That's October 19th. Bass Pro Shops Outdoor Show, Bass Pro Shops Outdoor World, and that's at Arundel Mills. That is Sick of Deer Sunday, October 19th, Sunday, and Bob Folkrod and friends will be there. Hey, let's not forget about the last time I'm going to tell you that the Crisfield Outdoor Expo takes place today in Crisfield. So when you're done duck hunting, head on down to Crisfield. John Godwin. That's John Godwin, the guy with the little white, bright white beard. He's going to be there from A&E Ducks Dynasty this Saturday, today, October 11th, at Summers Cove Marina in Crisfield from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. The Crisfield Outdoors Expo is a family-friendly day celebrating the outdoors, hunting, and fishing. And I'll tell you, the Crisfield folks, I was down there yesterday, Chamber of Commerce and everybody else, the sponsors, are all excited about this. First time ever in Crisfield Outdoor Expo. Retrievers and duck calling demonstrations, good food, contest like a duck picking contest, never seen one of those, bow and arrow competition, decoy retrieving from the boat, never seen one of those either. But hey, Crisfield, they're all water oriented down there, and a duck dynasty look-alike contest. So grow that beard as fast as you can. Head on down to Crisfield today. You can see more information on crisfieldoutdoorexpo.com or on Facebook for more information.
Areas of light rain are going to continue to track through the region here through early afternoon, and the clouds will continue through the rest of the day. Cool temperatures at 59. New clouds for tonight, 45. Back to sunshine on Sunday. Sunday's high, 63. Richard Webbing at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. When it comes to math, American students have long lagged behind children in Asia. We may now know part of the reason why. Researchers say Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Turkish all use simpler number words and express math concepts more easily than English. That makes it easier for small children to learn counting and arithmetic. For example, Chinese has just 9 number names, while English has more than 24. The trouble starts at 11. English has a unique word for the number, while several Asian languages have words that can be translated as 10-1. That makes it easier to understand the value of each digit in a number. Researchers are finding some ways for parents to level the playing field through games and early practice. Children whose parents teach them to recognize and name digits and practice simple addition problems tend to do well on kindergarten tasks such as counting and comparing numbers. Board games can also offset some of the disadvantages of speaking English. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Avoid bankruptcy. Does credit card debt have you living paycheck to paycheck? Our attorneys at the Legal Center for Debt Resolution will find the absolute best debt reduction solution for you, or you pay nothing. It's called pay for performance, and you won't pay a dime until the job's done. That's right. No upfront fee, no monthly fees. Nada. You pay nothing until after your account is settled. If you owe $10,000, $30,000, or even $50,000 in credit card debt, call the Legal Center for Debt Resolution at 800-821-0881. 800-821-0881.
Congratulations, Buck Bomb, on your 10th anniversary. Buck Bomb works all season long with its downwind full coverage particulate dispersal spray. It's the easiest and most effective deer scent delivery system. Choose Ambush, Doe Pea, or Vanilla Curiosity scent. And Buck Bomb is your choice for the rut. The traditional Doe and Estrus spray is still number one to attract bucks. The detonator is a canister with a wick that holds any Buck Bomb scent. Hang it on a nearby limb and bring the bucks close. When you're done, simply roll the wick into the canister for another day. The no-leak O-ring seal prevents any scent from escaping. Trigger the detonator with the igniter, a 4-ounce bottle of liquid Doe and Estrus scent. This potent combination is your best bet for the rut. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer, order online at buckbomb.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds
with the Buck Bomb.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus Junior Hunt Days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Have you checked out what's happening at the WCBM store? If you haven't, you simply must. That's where you'll find the in-demand WCBM merchandise and gift certificates to restaurants like the Mount Washington Tavern. Currently available are really sharp-looking shirts and caps. More merchandise to be added later. Go to WCBM.com and click on the store icon and order the shirt, cap, discounted restaurant coupons, or all three. You'll be the envy of the neighborhood and can thank Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Cakes and rockfish too. We thank the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his folks, the way he makes his living. I'm talking about the man, talking about the water man. I'm talking about the man trying to line the crabs, tonguing oysters and cooking the beef. Talking about the man who makes his living on the water every day. I'm talking about the man, talking about the water man. 3 a.m. we'll find him in his boat and on his way, fishing nets, beating lines.
All right. All right. We can lose the waterman now. Thank you. Appreciate that. Man, on and on and on. Not that we don't love them, but man, we need to have a conversation. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the weather.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that drives our oyster population in the state, as you mentioned earlier, are MSX and Dermo disease.
Yes.
Both of those diseases are very closely linked to the weather, as is a lot of other things on Chesapeake Bay. All your listeners who hunt and fish know how the weather affects things.
Yeah.
Whether the geese show up early or late the next year or whatever. So this was a nice, wet year. We didn't have a prolonged drought this summer at all, and we really haven't for the last 10 years. And that's a big part of why our oyster population is getting better in the lower bay. When you have really high salinity, dermo is lethal. And when you have low salinity from high rainfall, it's not a big problem, and oysters can tend to survive it. So this summer was cool, and it was wet. It was almost ideal conditions for the continued growth of the oysters that are already in the bay. So we're always happy to not see a big drought.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so you're saying that fresh water, the more fresh water, and the lower salinity is bad or good? I'm
good.
That's good.
Low salinity is good for survival.
Less salinity is good for survival. High salinity triggers MSX and dermo.
Triggers it to be lethal. You know, we have a situation where...
So a drought means that the salinity is higher.
Exactly.
More rainfall or a nice rainfall or a steady rainfall or a fairly spread out rainfall keeps the salinity lower, therefore more survival in the oysters.
That's right, Alan.
Okay.
Oysters pretty much all have dermo in them. At any given time, they carry.
Yeah, it's endemic, right?
Yeah, as if you know, it's as if you always had the cold,
right?
And then when something else comes along that stresses you, that can get a lot worse, and you can die,
right?
So when we have droughts, we tend to have very high mortality. We have a lot of oysters die. Now, the downside of this period of not having any droughts is ironically, when we get a drought, we tend to have really good oyster reproduction. Because oyster larvae thrive at higher salinities. That's why we have better reproduction in the lower bay generally than we have in the upper bay.
Okay, so the larvae love the high salinity.
Love it. And we tend to have really good fat sets when we have a drought.
So
you have the babies and you lose the adults. So
yeah, okay. Oh, man.
It's complicated. Kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, it's kind of like somebody in the department told me about crab management. It's like trying to manage bugs on crawling along in the bottom of the bay, which, you know,
yeah.
Is kind of interesting. All right, look, we've got a couple calls. Want to talk to a few folks here. Let's talk to Jeff and Gamber real quick. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, hi, Al. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just wanted to put out to all your listeners one last reminder that their last chance to register to vote for this coming election is October 14th.
Week. We did that. We covered that first hour.
Well, not only that, I was thinking we change a little bit because they get a license to play if they register to vote. If they don't have that license, they don't get a chance to hunt, fish, or participate in anything related to anything that's going to save their rights to do those kind of things. And maybe if we spin it just a little bit differently to these guys, maybe they'll all line up and start registering to vote like they should.
Okay. Appreciate that, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Got to go. All right. Let's see. There goes Jeff. Let's see what Paul has to say. Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
Good morning, Alan.
What's up?
I'm fine. I'm very... happy to hear your gentleman from DNR.
Mike Naylor. Mike Naylor. He's the Shellfish Program Director.
What's his name?
Naylor. N-A-Y-L-O-R.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, like Taylor, only with an N.
I met him at one time or another.
Yeah.
At some of the public hearings.
Okay.
I was happy to hear about the great increase in the aquaculture effort. My concern is the increasing number of oysters in the bay to filter the bay's waters and clean them up. Do we have or are we acquiring some kind of records that show the number of permanent oysters that stay in the bay and that they're actually increasing in number? I'm not aware of that. I don't hear anything of saying we had 5 million 2 years ago, and now we got 8 million, et cetera, et cetera.
Why don't we let Mike answer the first question, Paul? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, we don't have an absolute measure of oysters. That's a very difficult nut to crack. What we have is an index. Since 1930, biologists from the Department of Natural Resources have spent about 2 months every fall visiting several hundred oyster bars, typically 300 to 400 oyster bars, and doing counts. We measure every oyster. And from that, we have an index that we use called the biomass index. You can go to the DNR website and look for the fall survey results, and you can see annual reports dating back to 1930 talking about how many oysters are in the bay.
Fall oyster survey on the DNR website. Very good. All right, let's talk to Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning. Mike, how are you doing?
Hi, Dale.
Have you had your bow out yet?
I have. I was shooting it the other day.
Good, good. My couple questions. One, you talked about the number of aquaculture enterprises increasing. What percentage, Mike, does that harvest make up for the total harvest in terms of aquaculture versus natural harvest?
It's a very small percentage. It's less than 5% right now.
Okay.
But that's going to change very rapidly. In Virginia, it's almost the same. The aquaculture harvest versus the wild harvest.
Really?
Okay.
because they had a huge head start on us in terms of being able to do aquaculture. You know, it wasn't
right. Legal. It was kind of a. It was kind of a. I can remember you lamenting over some of the battles that you fought.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'll grow. It's going to grow extremely rapidly over the next 3 to 4 years, and we're going to see it. I don't know that it'll ever be the same as the wild harvest, but it'll get closer and closer every year.
Mike, is there any price differential between what a grower gets as opposed to what a waterman gets for a bushel of oysters?
It depends. Growers who grow on the bottom using a traditional bottom culture methods tend to get about the same price as a waterman would get. But a lot of these growers, like Johnny Shockley, who we were talking about earlier, are doing cage culture.
Yep. Yeah, suspended.
They're suspended. They are put in tumblers to give them a better shape over time. And typically someone who sells to a shucking house gets around 10, 12, 15 cents per oyster. These
wow.
aquaculture operations that very carefully tend their oysters can get 60 cents, 70 cents, in some cases 80 cents per oyster.
Wow.
Smokes.
But,
that's nice.
But they've had to have the people doing the tumbling. They
I was going
to
say,
sure,
that's
it's
more,
all,
labor
yeah, more labor-intensive. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Mike, okay. What's a bushel of oysters going for now, early season?
Early season, they could be as high as $40 a bushel.
Okay.
Cheaper than crabs.
Cheaper than crabs, and they drop really quickly in price, though,
exactly.
Once the power dredging starts,
sure.
Typically
yeah.
down to $26, $27, $28 a bushel.
Gotcha.
All right.
Hey, Dale, hate to let you go, but we got to get to the next break here and then wrap it up, okay?
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Mike, you take care.
All right.
You too, Dale.
Thanks, Dale. Appreciate the input. 410 WCBM 680 is our phone number. We are crashing towards our conclusion here, so let me tell you one more time about our friends at Chesapeake Outdoors, first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. On Ken Island, exit 39B, that's right, Dominion Road, that's the exit. Anything for archery, Matthews bows, Mission crossbows, Barnett Excalibur Carbon Express crossbows, all the Parker compound and crossbows as well, custom arrows, everything for archery. A great archery selection, broadheads, arrows, you name it. Firearms for waterfowl, for deer, for, you know, any kind of hunting that you need. A lot of camo firearms and muzzleloaders as well, and a big, huge, monstrous muzzleloader section of accessories as well as any kind of hunting accessories, you know, all kinds of scent control and attractants and things like that. They've got it. Drake and Under Armour camo clothing and outdoor clothing and largest selection of waterfowl calls in the region. Now, it's early duck season, but they're not going to start their waterfowl picking until November. So keep that in mind. Nobody's going to pick your ducks today except you. So there you go. Chesapeake Outdoors, located at Route 50 East, exit 39B, Ken Island, 410-604-2500. Their friendly and courteous staff will help you on any purchase that you need to make. And we got to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop one more time. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Hunting season is here, and they are your full-line Browning dealer. Now let's talk about muzzleloaders first. Great selection of Thompson Center muzzleloaders. Everything you need, all the powder, all the bullets, you name it. Clyde's has got it. Their gunsmith does great work as far as scope mounting and bore sighting. They just mounted a scope for me, and I sighted it in yesterday. So let's talk about the Maxxis shotgun for waterfowlers. This is autoloader shotgun, waterfowl hunting perfection, 3 and 3.5-inch chambers. It's the new power drive gas system that reduces recoil. Then they've got the Gold Light 10-gauge, standard for autoloader performance. A gas-operated autoloader, 3.5-inch composite stock with a DuraTouch armor coating and Mossy Oak camo, 3 standard Invector choke tubes, and, of course, a great BPS pump. All that at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108, 242-6108, ClydeSports.com. And don't forget, they're open 7 days. Take all major credit cards, and the Fishing Hotline's 247-FISH. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to
clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk radio was the first social media.
Now you can listen to Talk Radio 680 WCBM on AM 680.
WCBM.com and on your smartphone. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at WCBM 680.
Hey, wrapping it up with Mike Naylor, Maryland Department of Natural Resources shellfish pro and program director. Mike, let's wrap it up with whatever closing comments you'd like to make.
Well, I'll just say to your listeners, you know, don't forget we at the department are your public servants, and we're not hard to track down. Anyone who wants to have discussions about any of the topics we talked about today is welcome to give me a call. 410-260-8652 is my direct line at work.
Wow, cool.
We're here to help.
We're from the government. We're here to help you. Sounds like it. All right. Look, it's been an enjoyable time. Very, very informative. A lot of facts and a lot of things that that are going on. Good stuff going on in the Chesapeake Bay, and we appreciate you being here with us today. So did somebody say you're a bow hunter?
I sure am, yeah.
Oh, man. I love you even more now, buddy.
Made me think about sick of deer. You know, that's probably my favorite meat to eat on this planet.
Oh, you're not kidding. I just got a photo from a guy the other day that killed a nice 6-point with a bow. And so hopefully we'll get down there in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know if we'll get down during muzzleloader season, but we're going to try and put some sick of deer in the cooler ourselves this year. So
excellent. Well, thanks for having me on.
All right, Mike. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And you know, thanks for all you do for the watermen, for the oystermen, and for the aquaculture industry here in Maryland.
Thank you, Alan.
Have a great day. See ya. There's the music, and that means we're at the end of the show. I will remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that the Maryland Hunting Coalition is up and moving and rolling and rocking and doing what we need to do for hunters. MDHuntingCoalition.org. If you can help us, you can donate right online through PayPal. Get out, get out, get out. Get out,
hunters!
Just get out.
You could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed